Well, I had thought that since I know that nearly all of you, I know for a fact, have been into these topics about the kingdom of God now for quite some time, and I know you've had a chance to read this book, whether you've found time to or not, but I know some of you have, and I thought that this afternoon would be good to take a period of an hour or so to just deal with problems and concerns that you're having. These may be of a more personal nature, or they may be something about particular questions of doctrine or teaching about the kingdom. And so I wanted to do that. I hope this morning we were able to get over I don't mean just thought, but a kind of feeling of how one begins to step out toward an encounter with the kingdom of God. And now I don't want to suggest any legalisms by reading the passages we did, but rather to say here are dimensions of our lives. We can talk about others. Jesus does talk about others, of course. But I've taken those two that we concluded with from Matthew 5 as being perhaps among the most important ones where we have the opportunity to step beyond the righteousness of the scribes and the Pharisees and begin to move into an encounter with the kingdom of heaven. We first encounter the kingdom through the word that comes to us and begins to strike in our hearts a special sound that attracts us, that calls us. And that's election in the first sense, of being called. We hear a voice which says, this is it, better pay attention to this. And then we begin to respond, and as we move out in particular ways, we encounter the kingdom in reality beyond just words. And until we do that, we don't really have any confidence in it. A little bit of faith comes from hearing, but faith really begins to grow as the experience grows. And as we put the test of reality to the kingdom in the various areas of our lives. We mentioned ultimately there's the vulnerability even to death. And that is what Jesus showed in his own life and the significance of his life and his death. The significance of his life and his death together are precisely as a revelation of the reality of the kingdom of God. The resurrection is God's way of saying to us that the kingdom of God is over everything. There's nothing, as Paul says in Romans 8, can separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus. Sometimes it's easier to think about that big thing, though, than it is about the little things. Sometimes our getting our lives interacting constantly here and now with the kingdom of heaven is a little harder than dying for it. Well, so you don't feel uneasy if we have a few moments of silence, but as you feel inclined to make statements or ask questions, I will just leave everything open.
I have a question about whether or not people would feel more free, since this is a discussion period. Last year we had some feelings that since it was being taped, there wasn't quite as much freedom.
Mm-hmm.
To ask more personal questions. So maybe we ought to.
People talk, then I will try to rephrase any part of the question which would not involve a person.
Okay.
And just address myself to the question.
That's good.
And I'll leave out phrases like, well, since you've embezzled this $5,000.
That's all.
We'll bleep the names. I'll try to leave all that out. So let's, if that's okay, we can go it that way. Well, I really think that there are two different sorts of issues there, one of which has to do with, as the book is indicating, a cultural contrast. The exploiters tend to be people who focus on certain kinds of values, and then they will cite things like the hard facts and so forth as a basis for their operation and as a basis for undermining other people's operations, right? And this tends to be an extension of the general idea of economic man, that if you can't state it in economic terms, economic values are the only ones. And that's a very big problem that goes far beyond just the Christian concern, but is certainly a part of the Christian concern. And in this book, Snyder is in many places, he keeps running up against this general idea that, well, there are these hard-nosed people over here, and they operate in the domain of realities and facts. But you see, what that's doing is, that's raising the whole question of what the realities are. Now, that's a primary form of confrontation between the kingdom of God and the kingdom of the prince of the power of the air. It is an issue about what is real and what is not, you see. And now then the Christian witness comes in terms of their ability to show a kind of life that is operating out of the kingdom of God, which certainly does not run by economic arguments only, but rather operates in the light of all of the values which are important for human beings. And it says sometimes, but you see, it isn't just economic man that is contrary to that, because sometimes it gets up against the general human viewpoint. For example, if it comes to laying down your life, I mean, that stands out to all through the Gospels, doesn't it? Jesus says, you know, you really love if you lay down your life for your friends. That's not a big part of the world's outlook, laying down life for your friends, much less your enemies. And of course, Jesus laid down his life for his enemies as well. So I think there's I would encourage you to believe that as you give your life more and more to the kingdom of heaven, more and more of the kingdom of heaven will be in your life.